Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I want to be a blessing and encouragement to you this day, of course, being the Lord's Day, and we're gathered together in one accord in one place. Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to read several verses here. Responsibly, I'll read the odd verses by myself. You can join me on the even verses. And we're going to go through verse 15. 1 through 15. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able. And we're going to begin in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12. You'll join me on verse 2, and then I'll, of course, the rest of the even verses as we go through verse 15. Beginning in verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Well, as we see here in Hebrews chapter 12, looking at verse 1, he says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." I want you to focus on that portion of scripture in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, our life is kind of a whirlwind, isn't it? And even the scripture describes it as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away, right? And it tells us, you know, we think about life. You know, why are we here? What is the purpose of life? And what are we supposed to be doing with life, right? And life is busy, is it not? There are so many things. He alludes to that by saying that we need to lay aside every weight and sin and those things and run with patience the race that is set forth. You know, when I was in high school, I ran cross country and I ran track and that's kind of what I was doing. I was not a very strong kid. I was kind of just skinny and sticks and bones, if you will, and that's about it. And so I could run. I could do that. Now, I loved the game of football, but I think I wouldn't have done so well because I only weighed like 110, 120 pounds in high school. I'm a little bit more than that now. But I went to the doctor for this poison ivy thing, and I didn't go on a diet. That's what I need to do. The scale was a little high. But anyways, you know, whenever we went to a place for a cross-country, anybody ever run cross-country? A few people. Okay. All right. Only, yeah, there's not very many of us that do that. But why would you want to run and run and run and run? Because that's all I could do. But what they do is that we'd be at a country club or a golf course or something like that, and they would kind of line out a course, right? Just kind of winding through the different areas of the place. And, you know, it wasn't like an oval track at a stadium or anything like that, where you just kind of go around and around and around, right turn, right turn, right turn, right turn, right turn, right? but rather it's kind of a winding, flowy thing. But there was a course to focus upon. You had to turn here and go here and run up here and run over there and then back around this way and then go this way. And you kind of had to have that mapped out in your mind and follow the markers and the signs and those types of things. So life is busy. He says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Did you know there's something set before you in life? You say, but Pastor, it's so busy and it's so distracting and there's just things coming upon me everywhere. Well, you know what? That's what kind of life is, isn't it? Anybody just have a dull, boring life? You don't have anything going on? I mean, just no distractions, nothing? No? Okay, I didn't think so. So you say, well, what do we do? Well, the only thing that we can do, and the thing that Scripture admonishes us to do, is look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, he knows the course. He knows the course. He has set the course, right? And we're supposed to run it with patience. Oh, that's tough. It's tough. You know, one of the things about cross country, as I ran and I would run, it's not a sprint. You've got to pace yourself. You've got to take it section by section, part by part. And there's something to that. We alluded to this a little bit earlier in Sunday school, that the Christians there, as they were saved in the book of Acts chapter 2, and they were added to the church, they continued steadfastly, daily in the apostles' doctrine, and they from house to house, right? They didn't just flash in the pan and fizzle out. They didn't just flake off. They actually stayed put. They ran with patience the race that was set before them. You see, our life is worth living. Jesus Christ has made it that way. Without Jesus, life is not worth living. Why do you suppose so many people commit suicide? Why do you suppose so many people are on depression medicine, right? Why? Because they're without hope. And without Jesus, there's no hope. Without Jesus, there's no salvation. Without Jesus, there's no heaven. Without Jesus, there's no purpose. So we need to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You understand that this race is to be run with patience. It's to be run in a way that would please the Lord. You know, as I would run and I would go through the course, each opportunity, I wasn't comparing myself to where the other racers were, because their pace was not my pace. I had practiced. I had run the 10 miles a day in practice. You say, that's nuts. Yeah, well, that's why my knees get stiff when I drive long car trips. You understand, though, I put the time in. And I knew my body. I knew what I could do and what I couldn't do. I knew how far to go and how far to push things. There was an element there that I knew what to expect at this stage and at this stage and at this stage in the race. You know, God never expects us to do more than we're able. He just expects us to do what we're able to do. By the way, the Bible says that we're supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. It's reasonable. And you know, my coach, he'd push us to our limits. But he knew what was reasonable for each one of us. Because he'd been with us in practice. And my coach had an old ugly mustard yellow color 1970s style Chevy truck. And he'd take us 10 miles out of town in the truck and he'd drop us off and we'd have to run back to town. And he'd be there just kind of plugging along right behind us, always keeping us in sight and such and so forth. And what was he doing? He said, well, he's just watching out for your safety. No, he was evaluating what we could do. Were we working up to our potential? Were we giving in the effort? You know, Jesus is alongside of us, is he not? He knows what we can accomplish. He knows what we can do. He knows our limitations. God wants to work with us. So I want you to think today about your life. And now I want you just to think about the busyness of life and this race of life. And I want to encourage you not to be distracted, but to rather be focused and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Run your race with patience. Run with all you have and with all you can, because he's the one that we're trying to please. He's the one that we're trying to pursue. Jesus Christ ought to be our all in all. I want you to think about another illustration, and that is of that of juggling. Anybody ever juggle anything? Right? You throw the balls up there, you try to get them to come down and not fall on the floor, right? That takes a lot of focus, doesn't it? Balance, patience, all those things. It does. And, you know, it's something that we have to do. Life is busy. There's a lot to be focused on, a lot to deal with. You know what? We deal with our lives, right? We all have different lives, careers, families, things to do, things to see, places to go, right? Things to accomplish. We all have a window of time to operate within from birth until death. You know what that is? That's our race. Our race that we need to run with patience. Paul said, hey, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand, right? But he said, hey, I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. He said, I've run my race the way it's supposed to have been run. And I did it so that, he said, I'll be receiving that crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at his appearing. You understand that Paul was running a race, and he had a lot to juggle. Do you think that he did? You ever read through the Gospels, through the New Testament and the books that Paul wrote to the different churches? Hey, did he weather some storms? Did he experience some distractions? Did he experience some setbacks, perhaps? If you don't think being stoned to death is a setback, it's a setback. Major setback. Right? How about being shipwrecked? Right? On an island. How about being beaten with rods and thrown into the inner prison and having to sing songs at midnight to have a jailbreak? You know, I mean, that's running the race with patience. And what did he do all along? Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of his faith. You see, We have a lot to deal with in our lives. There's a lot going on. And guess what? Life is busy. But don't forget, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. As a runner, the thing that I had to do was I had to learn to understand what was before me. I had to understand what was before me. If I just say, oh, I'm just going to get up and run. I'm just going to go. Well, I may not know which direction the course was going to go. I may not know the limitations of my physical body, whether I could make it to point A to point B at this speed, at this rate, right? You all understand what I'm talking about? I had to calculate some things. I had to know some things. I had to understand some things. Well, the same is true as we run our race with patience. As we look unto Jesus, God has given us his divine word. This is his book. This is the mind of God. This is our course map. This describes the pitfalls. This describes the limitations of the human flesh. This describes the distractions that are out there, the storms of life, the winds that are tossing things about. And all of this is out there. God makes us aware so we can finish our course with joy. So that we can successfully run this race of life. God doesn't want you to fail. If you're a juggler, God doesn't want you to drop all the balls. He wants you to have a successful life, a productive life, a complete life in Him. So in understanding the race that is set before us, we need to understand some parts of that race. First of all, our relationships. Relationships. Do you know you don't live life by yourself? Huh? You understand? No man is an island. Your life does not just affect you. Does everybody understand that? Even if you're a single person, your life, you're not living unto yourself. You're not just in your own little bubble or cubicle, and your life doesn't have any effect on anybody else. Because it does. It does, doesn't it? You understand that we've got to understand our life. What are you going to do with God in your life? With God. Is God your all in all? Is God your focus? Is God your purpose? God wants you to know Him and to wholly follow the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 136, it talks about Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He said, "He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord." Wholly followed the Lord. Is Christ your all in all? Moses told the children of Israel, they said, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Seek the Lord, David said, and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. In Isaiah was prophesying, and it said, he told the children of Israel, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Jesus reiterated this and said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Hey, didn't our text say that we're supposed to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? Where's your focus in life? Is it on the Lord or is it on the distractions? Remember Peter on the sea there? The storm was rocking everything, and Jesus was coming out walking on the water, right? And they were all afraid, right? And John kind of recognized that it was the Lord, and Jesus said, "Hey, Lord, if it's you, bid me come unto thee." Now, whose idea was that? Was that Jesus' idea for Peter to come out of the boat? No, that was Peter's idea, right? But Jesus told him, "Come on." So he gets out, splash, 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 splash. This is kind of cool. But then what happened? He got his eyes off Jesus. He lost focus. He started looking at the winds and the waves. And what happened? He started to sink. "Lord, save me!" You see, we got to stay focused. We got to focus on God. We've got to keep our eyes on Him. In Colossians 1:18, the Bible tells us that He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the... Yes. Well, you guys know Scripture. That's great. Preeminence. The preeminence of Christ. First place! Does God have first place in your life? If we are going to run with patience this race of life and we're going to be successful, we got to make sure Jesus always has first place. That we're wholly following the Lord. That we're seeking Him with our whole heart and our whole mind and our whole strength and our whole spirit. God needs to be followed. He wants us to follow Him. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to rest in Him. He wants us to let Him sleep in the back of the boat and not cry out, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?"
Of course he cares. He just wants us to trust in him and to completely be in him and through him in our lives. Remember the church at Ephesus? They were a busy church. In Revelation it says, I know thy works and thy labor, thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience. He said that twice. And for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. That sounds like a great church, doesn't it? It sounds like they're running their race well. That they're doing what they're supposed to do, and they're involved with the things, and everything's clicking along just right. But then he says the word, nevertheless. Oh, but there's one thing, church. Oh, there's one thing, Christian. I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You know what they began focusing on? They began focusing on life instead of on Jesus. Well, they were busy about the things of God. They were busy about doing the work, but they took their focus off of Jesus. If we're going to run this race with patience and finish the course with joy that God wants us, this race that has been set before us, we must keep our focus on Jesus. Do you know him? You see, I'm not familiar with Jesus. I've not ever asked Jesus to become my Savior. Today can be the day of salvation for you. How can you run a race that you've not begun? You say, well, I have a life to live. Yes, but is it your own, or are you bought with a price? Is it a life for Christ, or is it a life for you? Are you lost and undone without Jesus, or do you have purpose because of Jesus as your Savior? Are you saved today? You say, Pastor, you know many of us and probably all of us pretty well. We're all saved. That's great if you are. But if you're not today, can I tell you Jesus wants you to be saved? He wants to be the one that you look to. He wants to be the one that you trust for everything. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. We need to focus on God. God has to be our focus. We need to understand God, his mind, his ways, his work, and his word. Then we need to figure out ourselves. What are your tendencies? What are your shortcomings? Hey, how well do you know you? You say, too well. Good. Do you want to be like James says, that the man that beholds himself, his natural face in the glass, and forgetteth what manner of man he was? Hey, don't forget you still fight with this sinful flesh. Don't forget this stuff is still bent toward hell. Don't forget this stuff wants to do the things the world wants to do. Oh, you say, but those pleasures, they make me feel so good, and I just can't let them go. Well, Paul addressed that, didn't he? He said that we're supposed to lay aside every weight and run with patience. And the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Do you know yourself? I mentioned about running that I had to learn myself. How fast to start out. How fast to continue. How fast to end. When to speed up. When to slow down. When my breathing patterns became regular. You know, at the beginning of the race, you're trying to get that in order. Then kind of mid-race, you kind of settle in. And then as you finish the race, you kick it into another level, another gear. But we've got to understand ourselves. Jesus said twice in the Gospels, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Doesn't Paul tell us in Romans 8, if he live after the flesh, he shall die? But if he through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, he shall live. Do you know you? Your tendencies, your vices, your difficulties, your frailties. In Romans 15, Paul says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Keep your place there in Hebrews 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This race of life needs to be run. I hope that Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. That you understand God and His Word. And you know what direction and you know the course of life that you're supposed to run. And secondly, we're understanding ourselves. Look what Paul says in chapter 9, in verse 27. 1 Corinthians. Look what he says. And look at verse 26. He said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He said, hey, I know me. Remember, I already told you back in the book of Romans, he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Folks, we're just sinners saved by grace. There's no value or merit in our righteousness. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's the righteousness of Christ that's in us that's of value. It's salvation that Christ has paid for that's of value in our lives. Do you know you? Do you know that there's some places that I shouldn't go? There's some things that I shouldn't do. There's some people that I shouldn't be around. See, why? Because they'll easily beset me. Or they'll add weight to my race. I've told you this before about runners. And I'm not going to show you any pictures. You all know what I'm talking about, right? I went to public school. We had the really light nylon material, right? Tank top and shorts. I guess they were shorts. They said they were shorts. They were short shorts. That's why I had no pictures, okay? But why do they do that? Now, biblically, modestly, that's not the good thing. You understand that. But why? The shoes that we wore, they barely weighed anything. November, state cross-country meet, my senior year. It was 28 degrees. We're running state. I think it was in Grand Forks, North Dakota. It was cold. Do you know what I was wearing? You got it. Tank top, short shorts. You said, you're nuts. Yes, I know. I come by it naturally. I was purple when that race was over with. I mean, I was cold. So was everybody else. See, why did you do that? Because I needed to lay aside every weight so I could run my race with patience to the best of my ability. You say, I need all these things in my life. Oh, really? Now, I'm still standing here. That was when I was about 17 or 18 years old, somewhere in there. I'm 44. I'm still alive. I survived. You know, we can survive on a lot less than we think we can. And do without a lot more than we think we can. Do you know yourself? Do you know God? Do you know yourself? We're talking about relationships in our life. Life is full of relationships. What's your relationship with God like? What's your relationship with you like? You see, that's a really weird question. No, not really. You live with yourself all the time. How well do you know you? Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You see, God wants us to be successful in this race of life. To run it with patience, to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. We need to know God, and we need to know ourselves. What about your family? Do you know your wife, husbands? Wives, do you know your husbands? Parents, do you know your children? Grandparents, do you know your children and grandchildren and perhaps great-grandchildren? Hey, your family is an important part of your race. In the book of Timothy, it tells a pastor to rule well his own house. How can I do that if I don't know them? Aren't those people we spend time with? Aren't they part of our race? You know, on a cross-country team, there are 5 runners that make up a cross-country team. You know what they're trying to do? Each individual runner is trying to get the best place that they can because the way they do it, how many of you know how cross-country works? They take the number of places that you come in and they add them together and the total number, the lowest total wins. So if you have a guy comes in 2nd and one that comes in 12th and one that comes in 40th and one that comes in 61st and one that comes in 99th, they add those together and the cumulative total, whichever team has the lowest total, is the team that wins the cross-country meet. You know, it wasn't just about me running. It's about the other 4 guys, too. We were together. Part of a unit. You know that God's the one that has established the family? It's not just you. We're not an island unto ourselves. I already told you that. But this race of life is to be run because we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, husbands, your wife sees you for who you really are. Wife, your husband sees you for who you really are. Parents, your children see you for who you really are. Grandparents, your great-grandchildren and grandchildren see you for who you really are. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5, wives, submit unto yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. In 1 Peter, it tells us, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. What does the Bible say in our text? He said we're supposed to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. What is that talking about? Hindrances. Distractions. Discouragement. We need to know God. We need to know ourselves. We need to know our family. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We need to rule well our families. We need to honor each other. Live together. You see, God has given families as an heritage of the Lord. Remember the verse that says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing? Yeah, isn't that interesting? It never says, whoso findeth a husband findeth a good thing. Why is that, ladies? I'll let you keep that to yourselves. Okay. It says, children are an heritage of the Lord. I'll read this verse because it applies to me pretty well. It says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children, the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Y'all wonder why I'm happy. It's not the prednisone. It's a full quiver, right? I think 12 arrows is pretty good, isn't it? Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. We need to understand our relationships with God, with ourselves, with our families. What about this one? You know what else is part of the race of life? Not only God, not only ourselves, not only family, but how about the church? The church. You know, this place, these people, is part of our life. Just look around at the cloud of witnesses. We're not by ourselves in this. Our lives affect others. And they should affect others. You know, iron sharpeneth iron, so doth the man sharpen the countenance of his friends. I need you. And whether you like it or not, you need me. We need each other. We are the body of Christ. Go to Romans chapter 12 very quickly. You got to turn faster. You're not turning fast enough today. Look at Romans chapter 12. Running the race of life. Look at verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another, one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of our faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. You know, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to care for one another. Bear one another's burdens. Prefer others better than ourselves. You know that the Bible says that we're not supposed to forsake the gathering of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But what are we supposed to do? Exhorting one another? Gathering together? And so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, I hope you enjoy coming to church. I hope you enjoy the fellowship of the believers. We're the body of Christ. We all get to meet together in one accord, in one place, to the honor and glory of God. You know what that is? That's part of our race. It's part of our race. How about serving in the church? Being a Sunday school teacher, or working in the bus route, or being an usher, or working in the nursery, or being part of a food group, or going out soul winning, or just being here when the doors are open. Church is valuable. To our Christian life, to our Christian race, it's valuable to be a part of something. You know, if I were part of that cross-country team and I were out there just running for myself, what good would that be? It'd only be for myself. But you know what? We were running as a team. It's a group effort. God says that the whole body is all together in Christ. We're one body. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. We need to understand that life is busy. But we need to know God. We need to know ourselves. We need to know our family. We need to know our church. We need to know our limitations. God won't give us more than we're able to bear. He won't give us more than we can handle. But we've got to keep everything decent and in order. There's a way we ought to behave. There's a way we ought to progress in our lives. And it has to be centered around God. Can I tell you something? You say, Pastor Combs, I'm understanding all that you're trying to say. But I have other things in my life too. Hey, I told you before, life is busy. But we've got to make sure we're focused on the Lord. Besides yourself, the number one thing that derails or sets aside or besets the Christian, or is a weight that weighs you down, is your career. See, but I got to work. Yes, you do. We got to eat. Got to pay the bills. We got to
pay the mortgage. We got to have things to do. Listen, is that a real part of life?
Oh, yes, it is.
Does it consume a lot of your time? Yes, it does. You say, well, how do I deal with that? Well, you deal with it as God tells us to deal with it. The Bible speaks much about work. But I want you to think about, if you want to turn there, you can, Proverbs 31. This woman was a diligent woman, wasn't she? In verses 13 through 23. Did she work? Oh, yeah. And I tell you something, that the key is this. Look at verse 13. It says, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good and her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands on the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, and her clothing is silk and purple. You say she's just busy about everything in life. Well, yes, she is. But what did it say leading into this about this Proverbs 31 wonder woman, right? Look what it says. It says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. So this is unusual, right? Okay, now look back in verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. Okay, you want the key? Here's the key. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Well, what's the focus? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When you consider your career, the busyness, probably the busiest part of your life, if you give it first place, it will become your downfall. But if you give God the preeminence in first place, it will be a supplement to your life. In your job, put God first. Hey, let me encourage you this. You say, in order to keep my job, I've got to work Sundays. Then quit your job. Remember what it said, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first. Hey, if your job gets in the way of your family, you don't need that job. If your job gets in the way of running your race the way you're supposed to, and laying aside the sin which does so easily beset you, and putting those weights down, then you say, but I can't do that. There goes my livelihood. Aren't the flowers of the field clothed? Aren't the sparrows taken care of? You say, does that really work? Oh, yes, it really works. See, but it's a good job. It's providing for our family. Not if it's taking away from your race. It needs to be in the right place. We need to have balance, focus, perseverance, patience to run the race that is set before us. I just wanted to be an encouragement to you today, because I know life is busy. Especially, we're in the springtime, right? Everybody's a busy bee. Or like beavers trying to dam up the river so we can provide for our homes. It's a time of spring cleaning and work and busyness and kids and school and sports and church. And life just is everywhere. The race of life. Let's go back and conclude. You did pretty good today. Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin
which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. Stay focused on the Lord. Jesus said in Luke 9:62, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And can I encourage you today, as you learn to understand and know God, as you learn to understand and know yourself, as you learn to understand and know your relationships with your family and your relationship with your church and your relationship with your career, your work, all the things in life that you have to juggle about and know and learn about. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Can I just commend you today to run the race with patience? Run the race. Finish your course. It's a joyous journey if you choose it to be. But you got to focus on the Lord. You've got to focus on the Lord. And can I say today, just as a plea, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you say, I know about him. Yes, but do you know him? We'd like to show you from the Bible how you can be saved today. It's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful race. You can't run it if you haven't started. If you don't know Jesus today, you need to know him. And if you do know him better than you did before.